The date is October 29, 2008, and we were at the Amelia Island Museum of History in Fernandina Beach, Florida. The following interview is being conducted as a part of the Amelia Island Museum of History's Veterans History Project in partnership with the Library of Congress. We are interviewing Ramon Keith Winston, born January 1, 1931, in Pritchett, Colorado. My name is James McCannell, and I will interview the subject on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. Assisting me is Donald Hill, who will operate the recording equipment. I will now begin the interview. Ray, what was your period of service?
From September 1950 through the end of September 1970.
Okay. During which conflicts did you serve?
I was in the service during Korea and Vietnam.
Okay, thank you. And what rank did you attain?
My final rank was major.
Okay. And can you give us some idea where you served? You may want to go ahead and speak chronologically about that. That'll be fine.
Yes, if I may. Mm-hmm. I enlisted in the Air Force in 1950, as I said. Following 4 weeks of basic training, I was assigned to Tyndall Air Force Base, Florida, for air police training. My first regular assignment after the training was to Ramey Air Force Base, Puerto Rico. I served as a security guard and other regular air police duties. The highlight duty there was serving as a guard for General Eisenhower before the election in 1952. He was a warm and humble person. He played a lot of golf while he was there, and he liked to play poker. And he was in his quarters, and he asked for he wanted an old army blanket. So we found one for him, and they spread it out on the floor, and he and these other generals and VIPs sat on the floor and played poker. There I met my wife, Alma. Mm-hmm. She was a lieutenant in the Civil Air Patrol. From that assignment, I went to aviation cadets. I graduated from that with the commission and navigator wings. My first assignment as an officer was to the 774th Troop Carrier Squadron. We were flying C-119s. Most of our missions were dropping paratroops at the jump school at Fort Benning, Georgia. We also participated in a lot of joint exercises with the Army. And the C-119 was not a real powerful aircraft, and we always sweated the takeoffs, particularly in Oklahoma where the runway temperature might be 120 degrees. Mm-hmm. And we flew through most of the thunderstorms because we couldn't get on top of them, and we couldn't get very much below them. While there, I went to Eielson Air Force Base in Alaska for polar navigation training. I flew in WB-29s and WB-50s from Eielson. Missions would take us up north to the pole. My wing was the first to get the C-130 aircraft, and our mission changed drastically. John Foster Dulles was the Secretary of State, and he was projecting American power everywhere. And we were supporting the fighter units that they would move depending on where the hot spot was. Two missions out of the norm were when President Kennedy went to Vienna to meet with Khrushchev, we had the mission of flying the cars. The president at that time had two cars, a Cadillac and a Lincoln. And one of the highlights of that trip was in Paris. We were standing on the street watching this parade, and we got to see De Gaulle and President Kennedy and Jackie go by.
When you the cars that you flew, did you you flew them in C-130s?
Yes.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second second mission that was out of our norm was they sent about six aircraft from our squadron to Peru. And they more or less turned us over to the Peruvian government. And the mission was flying road building equipment over the Andes. At the time, there were no highways across the Andes, and most of their agriculture products were grown on the east side of the Andes, and the population center was on the west side. So, excuse me, what they had to do was move their things down the Amazon, up through the Panama Canal, and then back down to get the food where the people were. So they took some machetes, and they cut us some landing strips. And it was always a big thrill, because when you landed and you put the props in reverse, all this dust and grass and everything would come flying up, and you couldn't see anything for quite a while. Everybody's crossing their fingers and standing on brakes and hoping to get that big mother stopped.
Were there any incidents at that time where they couldn't get them stopped?
No, no. We had damage to a couple of aircraft because of having to make sharp turns to turn around, and it was always a thrill, because those landing strips were pretty high, and you had a maximum of maybe 4,500 feet to get off, and then going back to Lima, where we were residing, we'd carry anything they wanted. We'd carry coffee beans, turtles, turkeys.
Were these airstrips strictly dirt, or did they prepare those with the perforated steel plates?
No, no, they were just dirt.
Just all dirt.
And then after that, my next assignment was to the Tactical Air Command, Airborne Command Post. During that that time with the Airborne Command Post, we were doing a lot of flying in control of fighter units moving over to Vietnam. And that would normally be about a four-day journey. We would have the commander of the wing that was moving over, and some of his best pilots to advise any of the fighter pilots that were having a problem, any kind of a technical problem. And we did a lot of that. It was about once a month we would be doing that. We'd be moving a fighter unit from, say, MacDill in Florida, or maybe in Nevada. And it, the fighter pilots would have usually three or four refuelings. First stop would be in Hickam in Hawaii, and then the next stop would be Anderson Air Force Base in Guam. And the first day or so, the fighter pilots would be pretty good. They'd stay in formation. But then they'd get bored. And maybe about the third day, they're flying around our tail. Oh. But fortunately for me, during that period, I got my bachelor's at through Bootstrap.
I noticed that in your application here, the awards that you received, Bronze Star, was this Distinguished Service Cross?
No.
Since Distinguished Service? Or was this?
Meritorious Service Medal.
Oh, Meritorious Service Medal, okay. Mm-hmm. And then Air Medal, Purple Heart, and of course you attained a Master Navigator. Could you tell us something about your Bronze Star?
That was awarded at the end of my service in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. It was no particular thing. It was for overall service.
I see. Okay. And how long did you spend in Vietnam?
I was there 1 year.
Just like the rest of us, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty standard, I guess. Could you mention about your Purple Heart, or would you rather not talk about that?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I was quartered in a hotel in Cholon, the south end of Saigon.
Uh-huh.
And it was on April Fool's Day of 1966. The Viet Cong attacked the hotel. They killed the two guards in front with a claymore mine. I was in bed because it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and that claymore blew glass all over my room. Then they drove a little truck in the front door of the building and set off this bomb. And there were, I think, fortunately, only 4 or 5 killed, but over 200 of us were injured.
Wow.
And they blew, the force of the explosion went up an elevator shaft and a stairwell. So the force went up inside the building and blew most everything out. And of course, that's from shrapnel is where I got my Purple Heart.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I imagine it collapsed some of the stories also, huh?
The first three floors of the building, you could look straight through. There was no sidewalls left.
Jeez.
Like I say, I was lucky to be on the fourth floor.
You were lucky. And, of course, I'm looking, the Air Medal, I assume that was when you were flying with the Flying Command Post?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. And when you left Vietnam, where were you assigned then?
After I left Vietnam, I was assigned to the Tactical Air Command command post, the regular command post for the command at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia.
Oh, okay. And how long were you there?
I was there approximately 4 years.
So your wife was there with you at the time?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And I finished my career there.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. And so... What is it that brought you to this area?
My daughter and her husband came here. He was an executive with Ritz-Carlton,
mm-hmm.
and came here to open the hotel. And so we came down to see what this was all about, and our daughter twisted our arm.
And so you looked the place over and saw it and decided to retire here?
We made a couple of trips, and actually we had bought some property in Texas. We're planning to retire there, but we decided this was the best place. Have not been unhappy that we decided to settle here. Love this.
So what year did you move?
In 1992.
92. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you've been here for a while then.
Okay.
Looking back on your military career, is there anyone of significance that you think maybe played a big role in your development? Any single person?
Well, I met a lot of people that were instrumental in shaping me to whatever I am. General Sweeney was the commander of Tactical Air Command when I was at the Airborne Command Post, and we flew him a lot, and really admired the man. But I had commanders, you know, that I was really proud to serve under.
Mm-hmm. All right. I always like to ask a question, too, about the Chow situation. What was your impression of Air Force Chow during your career?
Well, it was nutritional.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a positive response. Okay. Is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like to talk about as far as your military career is concerned?
About your son, Ray?
Well, yeah, let me say something about that. My son always wanted to be a pilot, and at the bases where we actually lived on base, he would disappear, and we always knew where to find him. He'd be at the flight line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's career Air Force. He is approaching his 30-year point.
Whoa.
As a full colonel. And then we also have a grandson. His son is at the academy.
Oh, at
he's
the Air
in
Force
his second camp. Year.
Uh-huh. Oh, how wonderful. Well, I bet you're proud of him, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let me ask you, Ray, in retirement here, what are you doing with your time these days?
Well, my wife works pretty much full time, mm-hmm. And so I keep up the house, keep up the yard. Used to play golf. Don and I worked together as rangers and starters at the plantation and the golf course. And I used to play golf, but my arthritis and problems with my shoulders stopped that. I don't play golf anymore, but I still work out there, and I like to see the people playing golf, enjoy that atmosphere.
Well, that's good. It's always fun. I'm not a golfer, but it's always fun to go to a golf course. You know, there's something about it that just draws people, I think. Well, Ray, I, for one, want to thank you for your service that you provided for your country in the military. And I thank you for this interview. And I think we can say at this time that this completes the interview.
My pleasure. Thank you. Mm-hmm.